from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the main points. Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka affirms preparedness necessary to reduce disaster impact. Indonesia moves repatriation of French, Australian, and Philippines prisoners. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka said disaster preparedness is important to reduce the impact or losses caused by disasters. He remarked while opening the preparedness roll call at National Coordination Meeting at the National Arms Agency or BASNAS Disaster Response and Healthy House 2024 at Simpang Lima Field, Semarang on Friday. According to him, Indonesia is located in the ring of fire and is prone to floods, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, landslides, and other disasters. The impact of disasters is also worsening due to increasingly extreme climate change. In 2023, there were around 5,400 disasters in Indonesia that damaged 36,000 infrastructures and affected more than 8 million people. The Indonesian government is considering requests from the governments of Australia, the Philippines, and France regarding the repatriation of their citizens serving prison sentences in the country. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Legal, Human Rights, Immigration, and Penitentiary Affairs, Yusril Iza Mahendra, said during a limited cabinet meeting in Jakarta on Friday that President Prabowo Subianto ordered ministers to respond to the request from several countries for the repatriation of citizens who have been convicted in Indonesia. According to President Prabowo, three countries have submitted requests to the Indonesian government, namely the Philippines, Australia, and France. The Indonesian government has yet made a lot of progress in this regard. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto said that the Indonesian government will share additional details about its plan to increase value-added tax to 12% as well as some other economic policies on Monday. He added that the government is currently in the final stages of calculating the planned value-added tax increase and will announce it at the headquarters of the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs. However, at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Friday, he assured that staple commodities will remain on the list of goods exempt from value-added tax. Speaker of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Puan Maharani, urged the government to issue programs and derivative regulations based on Law No. 4 of 2024 concerning mothers and child welfare in the first 1,000 days of life without delay. In a statement received on Friday, he conveyed that the House encouraged the government to accelerate the implementation and supervision of this policy so that the benefits are truly felt by the people. She added that the provisions of daycare facilities in the work environment, as the law mandates, is no exception. A defeated South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol faces a second impeachment vote on Saturday over his short-lived attempt to impose martial law, a move that shocked the country, split his party, and imperiled his presidency halfway through his term. As quoted by CNA.com, his move to impose military rule on December the 3rd was rescinded barely 6 hours later after parliament defied troops and police to vote against the decree. However, it plunged the country into a constitutional crisis and triggered widespread calls for him to step down for breaking the law. A U.S. man detained for months in a Syrian prison after entering the country on foot has described being freed by hammer-wielding men as rebels overthrew the regime of Bashar al-Assad. As reported by BBC.com, the man, who later identified himself as Travis Timmerman, to the BBC's U.S. news partner CBS, was found by residents near the capital Damascus. It comes as rebels say they intend to close Assad's notoriously harsh prison and track down those involved in torturing or killing detainees. Rebel leaders Ahmed al-Shara'a, also known as Abu Muhammad al-Jolani, explained his side will pursue them in Syria, and he asked countries to hand over those who fled so the country can achieve justice. Thailand expects to implement a global minimum corporate tax of 15% on multinational companies from January 2025. Thai Finance Minister Pichai Chunhavajira said it on Friday. As reported by CNA.com, Pichai Chunhavajira stated that the government will urgently issue a law on the tax collection. His comments came after a Reuters report that the cabinet on Wednesday approved draft legislation to collect the global minimum corporate tax. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
The first item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Kediri Regency, East Java. Thousands of students from all over Indonesia participated in the final of the 2024 Nusantara Santri Olympiad, or OSN, organized by the Al-Falah Islamic Boarding School Ploso Village, Mojo District, Kediri Regency, East Java. The event is held to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Islamic Boarding School. Head of the organizing committee, Kiai Haji Ifatul Latof Orgustoif, said that it is not only a competition event, but also a means to strengthen Islamic brotherhood between Islamic boarding schools in Indonesia and showcase the extraordinary potential of the young generation of Muslims, especially students. In this activity, there are various branches of Islamic science and art competitions. Participants are tested not only on intellectual abilities, but also on artistic and spiritual skills. The series of OSN 2024 events were held starting Thursday, December the 12th, while the peak of the event will be held on January the 1st, 2025. The next news is still from East Java Province, precisely from Magetan Regency. The Magetan Regency Government East Java has scheduled 75 tourism and cultural activities to be held in the calendar of events throughout 2025. Head of the Magetan Tourism and Culture Office, Joko Trihono, in Magetan Wednesday said it will be filled with various events, including cultural festivals, sports, and nature-based activities. He is also optimistic that these will be able to increase tourist visits and empower local communities. According to him, calendar of events 2025 is designed to to promote Magetan as a leading tourist destination that not only offers natural beauty, but also cultural richness and local wisdom. The last news item comes from Kupang Regency, East Nusa Tenggara Province. Head of the Space Research Center of the National Research and Innovation Agency, Emmanuel Sungging Mumpuni, on Thursday explained that the Mount Timau Observatory in Kupang Regency, East Nusa Tenggara, is equipped with a 3.8-meter optical telescope and geomagnetic sensor for observing space phenomena. According to him, the optical telescope at the observatory is designed in a modern way using segmentation mirror technology like the James Webb Space Telescope. This telescope consists of 18 mirrors combined with a design resembling flower petals. Equipped with sophisticated technology, this telescope is said to be able to observe astronomical objects that appear much dimmer when observed with the naked eye. In addition to the telescope, the Gunung Timau Observatory also has a geomagnetic sensor that can detect and measure magnetic interaction in outer space, such as solar storms. That was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on December 14, 1949 about the signing of the Constitutional Charter of the United Republic of Indonesia, or RIS. After independence, the Netherlands didn't necessarily recognize Indonesian sovereignty. To end this conflict, various negotiations were held between Indonesia and the Netherlands, namely Linggarjati, Renville, and Roundtable negotiations, which decided to establish the United Republic of Indonesia. On December 14, 1949, in Jakarta, a meeting was held which was attended by representatives of the Indonesian government and the state or regional governments that will become the United States of Indonesia. The meeting discussed and approved the Provisional Constitution as the Constitution of the United States of Indonesia. The charter entered into force since the establishment of the United States of Indonesia was ratified on December 27, 1949. Moving on to an event on December 14, 1981, when Israel passed the Golan Heights Act. The Golan Heights is a plateau on the border of Israel, Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria. Previously, this area was Syrian territory. But Israel captured the Golan Heights from Syrian hands in 1967 during the Six-Day War. On December 14, 1981, Israel passed a law regarding the Golan Heights. The content of the Golan Heights law read that the law, jurisdiction, and administration of the State of Israel governs the territory of the Golan Heights. We end today in history with an event on December 14, 1995, when the Dayton Agreement was signed. The Dayton Agreement was an agreement to end the Yugoslav War, which had been going on for 3 years. The war was an ethnic conflict between Yugoslavs, mostly between Serbs against Croats, Bosnians and Albanians, Bosnians and Croats, while in Macedonia it was between Macedonians and Albanians. This agreement was concluded at Wright-Patterson Air Station in Dayton, Ohio. This peace agreement was signed in Paris, France on December 14, 1995. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Instead of slamming down the phone, girl, for the 100th time, I got your number on my wall, but I ain't gonna make that call. When divided we stand, baby, united we fall. Got the time, got a chance, gonna make it.
Stop!
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is entitled Coordinating Minister Erlangga Hartarto Believes 8% Growth Target Can Be Achieved. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto said the government is optimistic that Indonesia's economic growth target of 8% in the next 5 years can be achieved. In the 2024 National Investment Coordination Meeting in Jakarta Wednesday, the minister said the government continues to boost various strategic efforts to achieve this target, starting from industrial downstreaming to accelerating the digital economy. He emphasized the government's main strategy to encourage economic growth remain based on consumption, investment, and exports. However, unlike before, the government is now expanding its focus by encouraging downstreaming, the digital economy, and semiconductor development. In his speech, Coordinating Minister Erlangga Hartarto also stated the government doesn't want Indonesia to continue to depend on raw material commodities. Downstreaming is the key to creating added value and encouraging the manufacturing sector, which currently contributes almost 20% of the national gross domestic product. Furthermore, he also emphasized the importance of developing special economic zones. He gave an example of Gresik, which has succeeded in producing up to 60 tons of gold per year and supports the formation of a bullion bank. In addition, the government is also focusing on the downstreaming of silica sand-based commodities, which have great potential to drive the semiconductor ecosystem in the country. Regarding renewable energy, a number of efforts have been made by the government, including Indonesia's commitment to accelerate green energy, which was conveyed in the G20 forum and the APEC meeting. The minister also said that in addition to geothermal and other green energy programs, there is a nuclear-based energy development program because the system is considered clean energy and with relatively competitive costs. He said in this digitalization era, Indonesia cannot be separated from semiconductors. The government also continues to prepare superior human resources so that Indonesia can compete in the global market. Coordinating Minister Erlangga Hartarto is confident with these various efforts, the economic growth target of 8% can be achieved in order to improve the welfare of the Indonesian people. That was My Indonesia Today.
When I'm lost in the rain, in your eyes I know I'll find the light to light my way. When I'm scared, crazy, you can turn it all around, and when I'm down, you're there pushing me to the top. You're always there giving me all you got. For a shield from the storm, anything goes your
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. Rice is the staple food of Indonesian people. No wonder there are many various kinds of menus made of rice in Indonesia. There is liwet rice cooked with spices. Yellow rice in Java and Bali is distinctive with its yellow color from turmeric. And in North Kalimantan, there is subut rice. Unlike other rice menu, subut rice is bright purple in color due to the use of sweet potato. Listener, subut rice is made from rice cooked with purple yam and corn. The sweetness of the purple sweet potato and corn blends with the savouries of the rice. Subut rice reflects the local wisdom of the people of Tanah Tidung Regency, North Kalimantan, who utilize ingredients such as purple sweet potato and sweet corn that are abundant there. The rice variant is often served at traditional events or celebrations. Listener, subut rice is usually served with stingray setai. Listener, subut rice is usually served with stingray satay. Before being processed into satay, the stingray meat is soaked first with lime juice to remove the fishy odor. After that, the fish is cleaned, seasoned, and grilled until cooked, and along with subut rice, sate pari is also served with a dripping sauce made from tomatoes, shallots, sugar, and salt. The savory sweet combination of ubud rice and sate pari is addictive. That's the Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
wajar itu lelah, bukanlah menyerah. Terus bergerak tak terikat, terus melangkah tanpa reda, bebas dan berharap, berubah bertahan. Terus bergerak tak terikat, terus melangkah tanpa reda, bebas.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany. Listeners, welcome back to the weekend edition of Miscellany. This time, we inform you about the achievement of Maximilian Halim, a 17-year-old ACS Jakarta High School student who won the prestigious Diana Award in 2024. This award is given to commemorate the spirit of Princess Diana, who believed that young people have the power to change the world. Maximilian received Diana Award 2024 thanks to his innovative project, Clean Air, which produced a simple air filtration device called Corsi Rosenthal Boxes. This device has provided great benefits to thousands of students in Jabodetabek or Greater Jakarta, Indonesia. In this competition, each nominee is judged by an international panel based on five main criteria, namely vision, social impact, inspiration for others, youth leadership, and social action journey. Regarding this youth competition, Prince Harry of the United Kingdom said he was delighted to be present at this event to celebrate the extraordinary achievements of young people who exemplify the spirit of Diana Award. At a young age, Maximilian showed a deep concern for environmental issues. With funding support of $7,000, he and his team produced 90 devices that effectively improve indoor air quality. More than just a technical solution, this project also educates the public, especially the younger generation, about the importance of awareness of indoor air pollution and environmental health. This step is very relevant, especially after the pandemic that opened our eyes to the importance of air quality. Listener, Diana Award itself has a very competitive selection process. This year, the award received more than 1,700 nominations from all over the world, making it the year with the most nominations in the history of Diana Award. Of the 1,700 nominations, Maximilian from Indonesia is one of 200 young people from 45 countries who passed the tight selection of the International Panel for Diana Award 2024. Maximilian's story conveys the message that simple actions carried out with great intention can have a significant impact on many people. Diana Award was established in 1999 in memory of Diana, Princess of Wales or Lady Diana, and was officially supported by her two children, Prince William and Prince Harry, with their belief that young people have the power to change the world. Well, listener, that's today's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, on this edition of Music Corner, we're going to present a keroncong song called Menikahimu or Marry You by Keroncong Pembatas. The song created by Indonesian noted musician Yovie Widianto is a song popularized by Bandung West Java Indonesia-based music group Kahitna, which was released in 2002. The song is one of the tracks on Kahitna's sixth album titled Cinta Sudah Lewat. This song has a deep meaning about the seriousness of love between lovers until it leads to marriage. It describes the happy feelings of someone who will soon sail the arc of the household after experiencing long twists and turns before finally finding a soulmate. Well, listener, here is the Keroncong version of Menikahimu by Keroncong Pembatas. Happy listening!
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
jatuh cinta, diam-diam kawan juga cinta. Kita berdua belum punya kekasih, saling mendekati. Perasaan tak bisa berdusta, bahagia terasa sempurna. Kita berdua belum punya kekasih, tunggu apa lagi? Katakan
listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma, signing out. Bye for now.